We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good afternoon.
Bears fans, this is Take the North with your hosts, David Haw and Dan Weider.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Welcome to the Take the North podcast. I'm David Haw from the Mully and Haw Show on 670 The Score. Dan Weider from the Chicago Tribune covering the Bears still at Hallis Hall. This is draft weekend, and what a momentous one it was. Dan, you just got done listening to Ryan Poles wrap up the weekend after the fifth Bears draft pick, and I think that he spoke in a way that everyone understood, and he called it a new chapter for the organization. And I don't know if it was authored by a general manager or a screenwriter, because all of these guys coming in have terrific backstories. They have tremendous charisma, and it looks like if this plays out the way we think it could, encore. It's a big weekend for the Bears.
There's no question. Things just feel different. It feels like, as we've talked about for months, that the window of opportunity has opened. It's really interesting, David. This is the 13th draft I've covered full-time covering the NFL. And usually Saturday can be the very frenetic day, the day where there's a lot of activity, a lot of action, and you're really eager to hear from the general manager and coach at the end of the day. On Saturday at Hallis Hall, it felt anticlimactic. I think there was such a huge explosion on Thursday night to get that combination of Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze that everything that happened on Friday and Saturday was just kind of like, okay, you know, we're just filling out this draft class, and we're going to go get a punter, and we're going to get an offensive tackle, and we're going to get an edge by using another pick from next year to trade back in. But clearly the fireworks show was on Thursday, and then again Friday afternoon when they introduced Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze, and you just felt the city, you know, really from the inside of Hallis Hall all the way around Chicago. I know you felt that there was an electricity on Thursday evening, Friday evening. And now it's just kind of like, okay, what do we do with all this?
It's a great problem to have, because now it's like you feel a little bit of a letdown because it's over. We looked forward to it for so long. So this is what we're going to do in this pod. So we're going to go through each pick at one point or another, but you haven't really spoken since you got back from Detroit, which was chaotic and frenzied and memorable. I did a draft show on Saturday morning, and you get a sense of just a feeling around the city still kind of in the aftermath. Friday was a big night. So this is a draft class. Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, in the third round on Friday night from Yale, offensive tackle, Karan Amagaji. And then on Friday, I just love this pick, Torrey Taylor, the punter from Iowa. And then the Bears trade back into the fifth round for a edge rusher from Kansas via spent some time at Minnesota, young prospect going to develop, Austin Booker. So those are your fabulous five, if you will. Dan, we'll get to what Caleb Williams had to say, because there was a lot of conversation on Friday at Hallis Hall. But take us back to draft night. You were there. You had a front row seat. You went there on Thursday. We saw what you did before the draft as well. What will you remember most about that experience covering the event, and how much progress did the Bears make in that first round?
Yeah, I mean, I guess my first instinct is to talk about all of the things that Caleb Williams had to do after he was drafted. It was really remarkable, honestly. And there's a story up on ChicagoBears.com sort of chronicling every single obligation that he had at the moment that he took the call from Ryan Poles to the moment he went to bed. And it was just such a long list of obligations and interviews and social media things and beaming into the Bears fans watch party at Soldier Field as a hologram. There was 150 things for him to do. And I thought what really impressed me, David, was just how much stamina he had for all of it, how engaged he was through all of that. I leave this weekend with an entirely different picture of Caleb Williams than I had when we started the pre-draft process in January. And part of that is a profound appreciation for how comfortable he is in the spotlight, how prepared he is for the attention, and how eager he is to attack it without feeling resistant to any of it. And I think that's a huge, huge personality trait that's going to complement all the gifts he brings to the huddle and to the football field when he's playing.
I'll say something that probably sounds somewhat gullible, but it is the first weekend of the draft that I've never been in his company necessarily, but just observing the things you just described, it was daunting. It seemed like one after another, be like, oh God, you know, and I know he's 22 years old. I'm the father of a 23-year-old, and I can just tell you that when you have – everyone can relate to this, but and we've seen it before with professional athletes. When you have all these obligations to fulfill, you don't always get sincerity. You get perfunctory responses. You're checking a box. You're fulfilling a duty. I have to say, I said this to – I think it was Molly this morning, maybe Patrick Manley, but – the uncommon sincerity that I sensed from Caleb Williams in dealing with one request after another was not something I expected to stand out. And yet he seemed like he enjoyed it. He seemed like he thrived under like the questions and was having fun with it. And I think that's a good sign for a guy coming into a market where he's going to be oversaturated with, you know, praise and attention. And I just don't think it's going to be too much for him.
No. And it's not going to be too new for him either, which I think is the cool part. One of the things that always struck me when Rich Campbell and I were doing the story about Mitch Trubisky kind of falling off in 2019 was a quote where someone in the league said to me, you got to remember he was the quarterback at North Carolina. He wasn't the point guard at North Carolina. Right. And it was essentially an acknowledgement that like there are different levels of stage. And if you're not ready for the stage, you can get fried by that spotlight. Well, Caleb's clearly ready for the stage. He's been living this life for a long time. He experienced it at a higher level in Southern California. He understands that he's now more than just a quarterback, and he's really become a bit of a celebrity on top of that. And he just seems very natural in that. He talked all weekend about being comfortable in his own skin. That's a great first step. But then along with that is the ability to engage with so many different types of people. I thought it was notable throughout this weekend that all of these guys that the Bears drafted were hearing very quickly from Caleb Williams via text or you know, like Tory Taylor even said on Saturday, which was really humorous, that Caleb sent him a text that said, you know, welcome to Chicago, but you're not going to be punting very much next season, which is a nice little touch, you know?
Like, that was the best one. that was the best reaction. And that's a good observation. I was struck by that too. When we heard from Amagaji on Friday night saying that he had already heard from Caleb Williams. So already the quarterback has assumed this natural leadership role without being real obvious about it. But it still stands out to me, and I wonder what you thought of this. You were there on the screen. The first thing that Caleb Williams said was he wanted to learn all his teammates' names and their families.
Yeah.
He's been coached well, and I'm not sure if it's just if he's responding to the coaching or he has become just instinctive to think that way and to be that kind of leader.
Well, the one thing you hear repeatedly from Caleb Williams is how driven he was to achieve this goal of being the number one pick in the 2024 NFL draft. And when you set that goal as a 10-year-old, you know, before you're even a teenager, and you're very serious about it, and you have a support structure that helps you pursue it, you start studying what it takes. And so Caleb understands the responsibilities. He understands what comes with aspirations that big. And so I think he's very genuine in understanding that, look, like my ability to connect with people is a huge part of this, right? My ability to take my energy and channel it into the people around me is a huge part of this. And that's going to be something that he's going to have to do at a high level for a very long period of time. Now, look, like you and I have talked multiple times here in the last couple of weeks, like there's a lot of things to do before you even clear a bar where we go, okay, you're on your way. You know, a lot of things to do. You got to have a good game and then another good game and then a good month and then two good months and then a good season. And, you know, as we go from there, but he seems very ready for that challenge. And just as we, you know, talk about that, I thought probably the most poignant moment of his introduction at Halas Hall on Friday was when he handled a couple of questions, not only about his wiring, but about why he is so willing to embrace the pressure and the expectation rather than succumbing to the human nature urge or leaning on the human nature urge to just duck for a little while, just to take some of that pressure away. Here was some of that exchange from Caleb Williams, and we'll react on the back end.
It was a situation that was going to be pressure packed as the number one pick coming to this franchise. A lot of people would kind of try to temper some of those expectations, not as an indictment on your ability, but just to kind of manage some of the pressure. You kind of went the other way, like eight Super Bowls, hit all these goals. What is it about you that doesn't want to duck any of the smoke that comes along with the expectations?
What's the reason to duck? It's here. There's no reason to duck. I'm here. Rome's here. Keenan Allen, you know, top five defense that we had last year. Special teams, all the new roles, whatever. We're here. So I'm excited. I know everybody's excited. The Bear fans are excited from what I've heard and seen. And there's no reason to duck. You know, attack it. You know, head first. And go get it.
Caleb, you touched on those growing pains a little bit, but kind of everywhere you've gone, you have the confidence that you are the best. Do you come in here expecting to be great right away?
Yeah, why wouldn't I? Obviously, if there's growing pains, you handle them, but that doesn't mean that affects your greatness. There's trials and tribulations that you go through. Why would I go somewhere, work so hard for so many years, and in every situation that I go to, believe I'm the best, and then I get here, and I don't believe that. That doesn't mean that I go around and boast. It doesn't mean that I go around and say that, but. The way I handle my work, the way I carry myself every day, how I treat my friends, families, teammates, the faculty, the executives here, the custodians, whatever the case may be, treat everybody, as they are. We're all equal, and everybody should think that they're the best when you do things and you work so hard for stuff.
Dan, I have to say, the first thing that comes to my mind is the way people spoke about Caleb Williams before he was drafted, before we heard from him, on his new team, before just all the nonsense that and time we wasted wondering what kind of character, and he seems genuine. We may all be getting fooled. I'll be shocked though, because he just came across in a way that was natural. And there is an easy confidence. He also gave t-shirt makers at Obvious Shirts an obvious one. Because when he says, what's the reason to duck? Question mark.
Yep.
On the back, you put, I'm here. That's a great way to summarize exactly who he is and what he expects and why he is equipped to handle these enormous expectations. And you don't worry about him wilting under the pressure.
I had the exact thought that you did. That it was just like in the moment, as he said that, you just felt like, damn, that's a moment. Like, damn. And you felt the power of that sentiment in the room. What I loved about it most, David, is that Caleb obviously has a whole bunch of prepackaged, rehearsed answers that he gets to questions that he gets all the time. And they were laid out all throughout the week because he was fielding the same questions over and over again from different outlets, from different parts of the red carpet, from different parts of the media after he was drafted. He talked about being comfortable in his own skin. He talked about loving the man in the mirror. He talked about caring for his teammates. And you start to get through it and you're like, okay, he's kind of on talking points here. Well, that response to the question asked by Herb Howard was an in the moment, sincere, reactive, what's the reason to duck? It was in response to a direct question that used right. The word, some people, why don't you duck that smoke? I think is how Herb phrased it. And he had a smile on his face and he had such a comfort in expressing that in a room that was more jam-packed right over here at Halas Hall than I've ever seen it in my time covering the beat. And so that I tweeted it out on Friday night. The presence is striking. It's just, it's absolutely striking, and it's magnetic and it's contagious. And you know why guys are going to respond to it. You've heard teammates that were out to dinner with them at the 30 visit say like, yeah, man, like seems like a pretty normal dude, really easy to connect with. And he clearly has his head on straight.
It's a first impression and you only get one chance to make those. And I think when you think about Caleb Williams in the packed room and saying what he said, it was a natural reaction. It wasn't a rehearsed response. That's what I mean. It goes back to the sincerity that I spoke to. You see so many guys answer these questions in a perfunctory way. They become they become more robotic and they become more mechanical and less emotive. And Caleb Williams, from draft night when he was announcing, he let out the primal yell on his way to hug Roger Goodell. That was the way every Bears fan felt across Chicagoland, across the country, in the world, wherever. And he was just like, he did it. He did it. And I think that was what you got from the moment he became a Chicago Bear.
I'm glad you brought that moment up as well, because we haven't talked about it. And I got goosebumps right now, having lived it in Detroit and seeing it firsthand, because it was just, you know, for several days, he was talking about how relaxed he was, how he had mentally prepared himself for that moment. You know, he knew he was going to be number one, and he just seemed really calm. And then you feel that release of emotion and that release of pride and excitement of one, checking off this lifelong goal box, but two, like, you know, getting this opportunity to have what he has in front of him now. And that scream, I thought it was so sincere. And it was just like, you could feel it, you know, and you could just picture Bears fans everywhere going, "Let's go," you know, like, and that was the adrenaline rush that he infused into the outside world with his own emotion.
And big picture, we're always talking about, what do you want most in a quarterback? Well, he's got to be able to be accurate. He's got to be able to stay in and out of the play, in the pocket, make throws, all the mechanical football things. But the intangibles are so important, and they start, those impressions start being formed on weekends like this one, because it is his first time as a Bear at Hallis Hall, in the fold. And it's frankly his first time as the de facto CEO of this organization. So he's treating everybody right. He's saying all the right things. He's doing all the right things. But it seems like he would be an easy guy to believe in and to get behind. So when he goes into that locker room, we'll talk about it until he steps foot in it. But how does he mix? How does he mesh? I don't know that I'm as concerned about all those dynamics being problems or even getting in the way or factors as I was before we heard him speak at Hallis Hall as a member of the Bears, because I think he removed a lot of the doubts and dispelled a lot of those notions over the weekend.
Well, let's just note this. In 3 weeks, when he comes here for his first full team practice of organized team activities, he does so stepping out of the field already with an established connection with Keenan Allen, with DJ Moore, with Rome Odunze, with Cole Kmet. And those guys are, particularly the veterans, are established, influential leaders that can tell the rest of the team, man, like, so far so good with this dude, you know, and let's rally behind him. Let's have his back. He's going to give us everything he's got. And those connections, I think, are incredibly significant. And it just feels like they've gotten off on the right foot in so many different ways. And that's truly significant.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Let's talk about that for a minute. Good segue into the Roma Dunze selection at number 9. Ryan Pohl states Pat grasps the obvious and does the right thing. I also wonder what you think about how we talked about the easy confidence that Caleb has exhibited all weekend long, the comfort level that he's had. How much of that also was related to the fact that he's got a guy, he's pretty much been with them. They've been yin and yang, and I think that's a really nice, fun thing to watch for Bears fans, because Roma Dunze, we interviewed on the Mullion Haas show on a special Saturday draft edition, Bruce Feldman from The Athletic.
Yeah.
And he talked about Roma Dunze being even more polished in situations like these than Caleb Williams. And he's been around him. He's done the deep dives on both guys. And Dan, when you hear Roma Dunze talk, it's almost like, I don't know if he's like the peer or the bigger brother, but he does have a way of sounding like he know, like he's a veteran, and you realize he's just a rookie too. Very, very polished young man.
My first exposure to Roma Dunze was at the Combine, and it was on that March 1st Friday morning when all of the stars of this draft on the offensive side of the ball, was really quarterbacks and receivers, were meeting with the media. And we had just gotten done with that massive horde around Caleb Williams' podium, and I was just kind of walking, and Dunze was there. I was like, I want to listen to him for a little while. This could be a Bears target. And it was within two questions, you're like, whoa, like this dude, he's comfortable up there. He's fun. He's, you know, introspective. He's gregarious. He's got all these things. And I stayed for the entirety of it and tweeted out that morning that if he slips to number 9, he will one day win the Jeff Dickerson Good Guy Award here at Hallis Hall. And I retweeted that on Friday because I truly believe he's got that kind of charisma, you know, and if he is here at Hallis Hall for a few years, he's going to establish that in a way that makes him one of those guys that's a lot of fun to talk to. You've experienced it already. I think it's really cool that in that session that I just referenced, Rome was asked, you know, what do you know about Caleb Williams? On March 1st, he said, not much. You know, I obviously played against him in the Pac-12, but I don't really know much about him. It'd be fun to catch passes from him. And here we are on April 27th, and these guys seem to be like longtime buddies already. Like the connection and the click and the synergy is amazing, right? And that's no small thing either for two guys who are going to be trying to get their career off the ground with the same level of expectation at the same time.
I think a lot of us assumed, as natural as they were at the airport posing for pictures and then backstage after they both were Bears, that they had a long relationship that went back to some, you know, Pac-12 media day session or something. And it turned out that wasn't the case. But I just think it also speaks to the charisma that both guys have. And they do seem to have a chemistry. They did work out together with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. And that's a lot of fun to consider. When you look at Roma Dunze, the football player, you see a guy that's got the size, 6'3", 210. He's got the speed, 4.45 in the 40, and he's got the hands to get the tough, to make the tough catch. Dan, I think any given year, any other year, if you ended up with Roma Dunze at number 9 and that was your first round draft pick, you'd feel like it was a good draft. The fact that he's paired with Caleb Williams makes you feel like Ryan Pohl said on Saturday, it's one of these things that this is a game changer. It's a transformational draft.
Well, and it sounded like on Thursday night, Ryan was getting a little bit antsy up in the draft room, just like wanting to go get Rome before the number 9 pick came on the board. And Ian Cunningham saying like, just relax, just stay here. The Bears obviously get a gift when the Falcons take Michael Penix at number 8, and all of a sudden their dreams come true, you know, and they've got this. I was curious if Ryan felt any level of anxiety during the week when the connection between Caleb and Rome kind of went national. It was a Tom Pelissero tweet that you know, acknowledged that they were on the same flight.
Yep.
And then you get the detail that they had worked out with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. And you're like, man, like anybody in the NFL that wants Rome Odunze knows they're probably going to have to go above nine to get him. Luckily, that didn't happen for the Bears. The stars align again. And when you stop and consider all of the stars that have had to align over the last 18 months for this right now to become a reality, you go, man, this just feels like fate has been intervening here.
I used the word serendipitous on the radio on Friday because it does seem like that it applies. There's some sort of football serendipity in play here. And I know that Ryan Poles didn't do this, but you know, you always want your executives were always urging them to do this. And wouldn't it be a great story if this happened? Okay, this is what's happened this in the past couple of days for the Bears. The general manager took the guy, the best quarterback available in over a decade. And then everybody's urging him to, you know, make this pairing with the wide receiver. And he didn't take the offensive tackle and he didn't go deep. He did what people like thought it was very cool. Look at these guys together. In the third round, he drafts a guy that sat in Matt Eberflus's office last summer or met him at the golf course and said, one day I'm going to sit in your office and be a Chicago Bear. And next thing you know, you've got Kieran Amagaji is a Chicago Bear. And then he drafts a punter. He drafts a punter. People are urging him, well, maybe you could draft a punter. Ryan Poles drafted took this draft like he had a sense of humor, and every pick you could justify from a football perspective.
Torrey Taylor was in my list of day two or three prospects that the Bears might consider.
Yeah.
When day one ended, I'm happy for you, David, because I know your co-host on the Mully and Haw show, Mike Mulligan, has been pleading for a punter to be part of this team. He's got a weapon now in Torrey Taylor, who the Bears speak really highly of. Ryan Poles seemed to light up on Saturday when he was discussing the way that Torrey Taylor not only has the leg strength but the ability to place a ball where he wants it, and the Bears just seem genuinely giddy to get this fourth round punter. It's an interesting pick in a lot of ways, because you'll have the backlash to people that don't think you should take specialists that high, particularly when you have needs on your defensive line and potentially on your offensive line. But look, they identified a guy that can help them win football games in a part of the game that they need to try to be great at. And they went out and pounced on him. And so, we'll see where it goes, but the kid certainly seems to come with the requisite skills for that position.
Let's go hold that thought for a moment. I'm more on Torrey Taylor in a second. I want to go back to Rome Odunze and the three wide receiver set for the Bears.
Yeah.
You look at the Seahawks, and Shane Waldron does have experience with getting three guys to football. I think three of the receivers had 60 or more catches, and they know how to distribute it. I don't know if that was something DK Metcalf appreciated, but they did spread the ball around. I don't know how much DJ Moore will enjoy sharing third downs with Keenan Allen, and both those guys sharing with Rome Odunze. I don't know who's going to emerge, but the favorite receiver will be the open one, I think, with Caleb Williams. How do you think that all comes together, and how quickly will they use Rome Odunze? Maybe in different roles, maybe on different sides, because if he's a quick learner, you have that possibility.
I don't know that I've ever seen a wide receiving trio with this level of talent that also appears to be this low maintenance, right? It's like three guys that don't seem like they're ever going to cause headaches or be a diva or, you know, create the Chase Claypool-like contention in your building when they're not getting the football as much as they want. These dudes are all wired the same way. They all want to be part of a winning program. They understand they can, kind of complement each other. And it's going to be fascinating to watch this kind of get up off the ground and running here in the next several weeks, OTAs and minicamp. It's abbreviated a little bit this year because the Bears are going to cut their OTAs short because of the Hall of Fame game start that puts them in training camp a week earlier. But man, like, you've got a chance now if you're Shane Waldron, if you're Chris Beattie, if you're Matt Eberflus, to blend these three together in a way where you don't really go to bed at night having any sort of headaches about what's ahead of you. And I think it was Daniel Jeremiah that told me last week that Odunze is a sleep well pick. You know, it's like you just pick him and you sleep well for the rest of the time that he's on your roster. And so really cool that he gets a chance to come in and learn from two dudes that are really established, have had a ton of production, and then it's going to be kind of the race between him and DJ to see who can break Johnny Morris's franchise career record for receiving yards.
That was a funny moment with Rome Odunze on the radio when told about the record. And to my point, Dan, just to follow, close that loop, last year Tyler Lockett had 79 catches for 894 yards. DK Metcalf, 66 for 1,114. Jackson Smith and Jigba, 63 for 628.
As a rookie, yeah.
As a rookie. So, and they combined for 17 touchdowns, 5 for Lockett, 8 for Metcalf, 4 for Smith and Jigba. So I think there are comparisons to be drawn. And at least Shane Waldron has some recent experience doing that. And as Studs points out, they had 3 with 50-plus the year before they did that. So this is somebody who knows how to distribute the football. And I think you look at Caleb Williams being able to find the open receiver, and it is very exciting.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, so I want to go to the next pick, the third rounder, 75th overall. Yeah. Local guy, Hinsdale Central. Karan Amagaji. He's a left tackle from Yale, the first Yalee, I think, that was selected, or the highest Yale player selected since the 1982 draft when the Dallas Cowboys selected Jeff Rohrer in the second round. How is that for Yale trivia? But the Bears, instead of going to Wisconsin, Notre Dame, or Ohio State for their offensive lineman, hit the Ivy League. What do you think about Amagaji, and is he a project? Is he a day one competitor for a starting job? What do you think?
He's a local kid too, Hinsdale yep. Central. Ryan Poles has obviously shown the affinity for going out and getting these guys, Komet, Sanborn, TJ Edwards among them, where you have that local juice in these guys. And it was cool to see Karan react in his own way on Friday night. Lifelong Bears fan. I know people on social media have dug up frustrated Bears fan tweets that he put out during some of their lower points, just to show how much he bleeds the orange and blue. But for him to have that moment, and then we were able to ask him, you know, as a lifelong Bears fan, obviously this is a big moment for you, but as you're watching the draft Thursday night, how are you reacting to the Bears getting Caleb Williams and Roman Dunze? And he's like, man, like, how could you not be excited about something like that? Now he gets to be their teammates. Clearly very, again, another guy that's pretty gregarious. Matt Eberflus relayed the story in greater detail on Saturday that it was at Kemper Lakes that Karan first approached him and said, hey, I'm, you know, you're going to draft me soon. And it's kind of like, okay, yeah, we'll get around to it. The Bears obviously see something here. As Friday night progressed, I got the sense that the 2024 vision is that he can be their swing tackle. Braxton Jones would start on the left, Darnell Wright on the right. And then ultimately they see they're not going to put a ceiling on how fast he emerges, but they do see left tackle starter potential in you pronounce it for me again.
Amagaji.
So they see that starter potential and they see some things there that they can work with. He'll get together with Chris Morgan and they'll try to unlock those things as fast as possible. And they'll increase the competition over there. It'll make Braxton Jones a little bit more motivated to make sure that he is holding down that starting job. And if knock on wood, someone happens to get injured, then you've got a guy that can fill in on either side.
He's quality depth. You can count on attrition and he gives you options. Maybe he moves inside at 6'5", 326 at one time, he'll become a guard, but Tevin Jenkins has not been as durable as you'd like. Nate Davis, you don't know quite what you're having to get out of him next season. So it does give you some options. It also addresses a need. And the only person in jeopardy is not so much Braxton Jones next year, maybe Larry Borum.
Yeah,
that would be a situation. We'll see what happens with that. All right, Dan, so you mentioned Torrey Taylor. I look at it as the Bears maybe took a little bit of a risk here. People didn't like it. I came around to the idea. I like to have fun with the idea that kickers aren't necessarily people too. He's a punter. I respect the – when I played at Ball State, I always remember this. My head coach was Paul Schudel, and he was a Bo Schembechler assistant for a lot of years, and he used to consider the punt one of the most important plays in football. And I've always respected it because he respected it, but it really can be a weapon. And if you have a punter like Torrey Taylor, who got a lot of usage at Iowa, I think that I get the rationale. You're a defensive-first football team still, even though you're responding to being a modern-day offensive passing game or becoming one. I didn't mind it. I didn't hate it, and I thought I might. But, no, Torrey Taylor makes some sense for the Bears at 122.
First year that I covered the draft for the Bears, they took mega punt, Pat O'Donnell, in round six. He lasted for a little while. It's the first punter they've drafted since then. Brad Biggs actually asked a nice little footnote question Saturday afternoon about a guy who comes from Australia and hasn't played a lot of, you know, American football. He said, how good is he as a holder? And got a positive response from the area scout who worked with Torrey Taylor and helped the Bears with the evaluation process there, and said he's pretty good. He's pretty good as a holder. So he's going to fit in there. Apologies to Trenton Gill. It seems like that competition will lead him out the door probably sooner than he expected here in Chicago. Look, like there are highlights of Torrey Taylor. It's hard to get juiced up by punter highlights, but there are highlights out there that show you an ability to put the ball inside the five to really boom some punts. And so certainly during the slow days of training camp, we're going to have some Torrey Taylor watch moments.
I love the way he says, go Bears, with that Australian accent. So we haven't heard that before. So that'd be a good one. And then in the fifth round, the Bears go back in. They see an opportunity. It should be noted that they were about to perhaps go to an edge rusher, I believe, before they drafted Amagaji in the third round. Weren't they tempted with the pass rusher Trice, I believe?
Braylon Trice from Washington.
So he was off the board. So they still had an edge rusher need. Ryan Poles gives up a future fourth to move back into the fifth and takes Austin Booker, who is he played in the 3-4, but he also has experience at defensive end in a 4-3. He's a pretty raw talent. He's got a lot of football ahead of him, and he's seems more project than NFL ready. Dan, 21 years old, a lot of athleticism. What do you think?
You use the word raw. NFL talent evaluators have been using the word raw. I asked Austin Booker, does he feel like that's a fair adjective? He said 100%. I'm raw. I've got a lot of growth to do. Still growing into his body, like you said, just turned 21 in December. It's an interesting pick for me because he hasn't played a lot of football. I think 18 games played on the college level, spent two seasons at Minnesota, one as a redshirt, and then made the transfer over to Kansas. Had eight sacks last year, 12 tackles for loss, and the Bears clearly are betting on some of the traits. Their area scout talked about John City, I think it was, that talked about the length that he has and just some of the prototypical athleticism to go along with that length, that they think that they can develop him. One guy that we haven't talked a lot about since January is Eric Washington, the defensive coordinator. He gets raves across the league for his ability to develop defensive linemen, to teach and mold and bring guys to new levels. Well, this is going to be part of his project, along with defensive line coach Travis Smith, to find a way to unlock Austin Booker to the levels that the Bears see him getting to. I think probably in year one, you'll be using him as a situational pass rusher, deploying him on special teams, and then hoping that he emerges sooner rather than later. But again, I think the rawness is something that you got to keep in the back of your head, because again, he hasn't played a lot of football, didn't test real well athletically at the combine, thought he did better on the on-field drills there. Bears didn't care. They saw some things on tape. They saw some traits. They saw some upside, and they said, let's go. Let's give up a future fourth round pick to get this guy in our building now and start developing him. Why I say those 3 years are interesting is because he declared, you know, he hadn't played a lot of football. He still had 2 years of eligibility left and decided to enter the draft this year. I asked him about that, and he said it just felt like now was the time. And so he took that bet. He gambled on himself, and the Bears are going to gamble on him as well.
Reminds me of when they drafted Mark Anderson in the fifth round in 2006, my friend.
On the way to the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, Super Bears. Look, everything is on the table right now. I'm not saying this is a Super Bowl contender, but when you talk about what happened over the weekend, five picks, and you look at each guy and they have a purpose. You can defend each pick. It wasn't a draft where they made you say, oh my gosh, what's he thinking? Maybe some people have that reaction to the punter, but it's defensible. Point is, the Bears end this weekend
they're the talk of the NFL.
They have come a long way. It's a playoff contender. Caleb Williams is going to be the talk of the league. and it's a lot of fun.
Interesting nugget. I was over at a hotel shortly before the draft in Detroit on Thursday, and I ran into a league source, and he was talking about all the excitement that he could feel coming out of Chicago. This is the day after the big stadium presentation there. And he said, man, there's so much excitement. You can just feel all the attention that's on Chicago. And he said to me, when was the last time the Bears were on the Today Show? And I had to say, I don't know if that's the right question to ask, because we don't really want to go there. But point made, I get what you're trying to say, but we're not going to go back to Today Show appearances to gauge their relevance.
Because that would really piss off Ryan Poles. He told us the history has no place in talking about the future. And I applauded what he had to say. He had a little bit of a flash moment. He's like, enough, people. We know about the quarterbacking history. Enough with the history talk. And I could not agree anymore. This is a new day. It's a new time, and it's a new era. And so all the quarterbacks that have failed before, okay, remember them, but it's not a cursed position. It doesn't have to be. Caleb Williams is here, and you know what? Why wouldn't he be the guy, as he would say? Why wouldn't I? What's the reason to duck? I'm here. And I think that's very, very exciting for Chicago.
Yeah, so before we get out of here, I think obviously Ryan's voice is significant in this conversation this weekend, and he was asked a little bit about, you know, it's easy to celebrate the arrival of Caleb Williams, but now how do you put him on a path to success? And what you just mentioned in your sentiments was folded into his answer to a couple questions there. Here's a little bit of what Ryan had to say. This was on Thursday night.
A talent, that's obvious. You see what he brings to the table. On your end, how do you make sure that the Bears get this right?
Yeah, that's a great question. One, the infrastructure has to be there, and I think we've done that part to have the talent around our quarterback now. I think the other thing is it's going to be our entire organization is going to have to be on the same page on how we handle this, how we develop Caleb. But I'll also say that it's I think we have a really good approach with all of the players, and I think that's different than maybe it was in the past. The way that we take it really serious in terms of the development from a nutritional standpoint to performance, to mental skills, to how our coaches teach. Like, I think we've made some really good strides there, but it's going to take everybody, and everyone's got to be on the same page. We got to adjust to strengths and weaknesses that the player has.
Ryan, Caleb said, you know, I asked him a question about the history, the Bears' history of quarterback and how it hasn't gone well. And he said he had questions for you guys, and you guys were very explained things to him. What were those conversations like?
I think he just kind of wanted to get a feel for everybody in the organization. What were we about in terms of, like, what's our direction? What's our North Star? How are we going to get there? And I think through our actions, we've shown that. And, you know, the history's the history. Like, I'm kind of done talking about it. Like, we go back so much all the time, and that those days are over. So we're bringing players in here that want to really just change everything up and do things a different way. Obviously, we love our history here. but it hasn't been smooth recently, and it's time to change. So I feel like we got to stop going back all the time.
Couldn't agree more. Those days are over and a new day is here. It's about time. Welcome back to Relevance, NFL style Chicago. That's the theme of the weekend. And Dan, I'll let you have the last word because it's been quite a weekend and great job from Detroit to Hallis to everywhere in between.
I on the drive up here this morning, David, I was just thinking to myself how crazy this week has been. I mean, that whole stadium presentation was just like 3 days ago, and it feels like it was about 4 years ago because of all the things that have happened, all the excitement that's surrounding this organization right now. Really, really cool to be part of Caleb Williams's entry into this building and to feel that, as we talked about earlier in this podcast. It's really intriguing to see where this goes. One thing about draft week and draft weekend is you're compiling a ton of information, and then you've got to kind of sort through it and spread it out. We've got some really good stuff for our episodes next week from Lincoln Riley, from Joel Klatt, from Daniel Jeremiah. We've got things to talk about, David, until we get beyond the Hall of Fame game, and that's if the Bears never came back to a microphone or a practice field between now and then, and they're going to. And so there's going to be plenty to talk about. The most eventful and active offseason in Bears history, perhaps, is still ongoing, but obviously the big exclamation points were added here in the last 3 or 4 days.
Can't wait, and you can listen to us on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can watch us on 670 The Score's YouTube page, and you can let us know what you think, comment in the section, and obviously subscribe and listen and rate us on the Odyssey app as well. So for Adam Sadzinski, our producer, Dan Weider from the Chicago Tribune, I'm David Haw. Thank you for listening to the Take the North podcast.
What's the reason to duck? Great talk. See you out there.